nothing like that at all. He was a very rich guy, and now he's an even richer guy. Also, he has an apartment in Brazil. He has businesses in Brazil. He's a very sharp businessman. He once wrote me a letter years ago asking me to get, telling me what a good deal would be to invest in one of these gas wells. And I wish I can't find it, but if I could find it, you would see what a sharp businessman this guy is. This is not a guy, a bumbling fool, you know. And also, there's no way he could have forgotten to pay. First of all, he told me to pay. I reminded him sometimes, he told me. But secondly, this Beacon's building is a very big building, and you pass it every time you go to the freeway. So there's no way he forgot to pay. This was a conspiracy with the U.S. government with Beacon's. Obvious, no question about that. So everybody knows it. Just nobody wants to say it. You know, it's like the emperor's clothes, you know. It's so damn obvious, you know. If people, the room, what they stole from me is like a room like this, something like this. This side, not a little room, not a cubicle, a real room with boxes to the ceiling.
Really?
Yes, with a big 2,000-pound safe, two big file cabinets over here. Mm-hmm. One file cabinet, I had a hidden secret safe in the top drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a combination to get into the file cabinet, then you have the hidden secret safe, which has another combination, then you get it back, you have two more keys. I had keys, locks, the whole damn thing all locked up.
Was he able to open all the doors?
Obviously they were, because I know the some of the small, tiny amount, remember I mentioned that they returned to me over a year ago, had stuff on my safe.
That's right.
Not Beacon's, you know, they opened it all up, sure. They wanted this stuff. This was a planned robbery. This was well planned. You know, years in advance. The stuff was here 12 years. I paid them over $10,000 in storage fees. You know, you would think after all those years you have a relationship of trust, right?
Yes.
No, not with Jews. You know, trusting a Jew, you know, hoping a Jew will show you love and affection is like trying to get a bullet from scripture, you know. Loving. No way.
And caressing me.
What was the point? I think I may have gotten off the track a little.
They were looking at the Brian file.
Yeah, there was an internet.
Regarding the internet?
Regarding the sites.
The auction sites.
The sites, yeah.
Yeah.
10,000. No. What I meant, this internet article, it was an old article from about January of 1999, it mentions that this Ryer and File auction was a re-auction. It is not the original auction of my stuff. This is a re-auction. This stuff is being sold by the guy who bought it from Beacon's, you see?
Oh.
You see? It's already a re-auction.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to make the public think that this is the auction of my stuff, when actually it's a tiny amount of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very tiny amount. Mm-hmm.
You still have some stuff left with the Beacon's, or have they all been sold out?
No, I have nothing but what they returned to me, which I told you was a tiny fraction of 1%.
As far as you were informed, are all these memorabilia sold out of anybody?
I have not been informed of anything. They don't give. I remember I sent a fax to Beacon, they refused to answer me.
Yes.
Jeff, how come these crimes that you have suffered, especially in America and so on, how come they have not been punished by the U.S. government, they say? How come...
Have you filed the...
Because the Jews are in total control.
Did you file a formal complaint with the government?
Well, first of all, I'm a fugitive from justice myself. They want to put me in prison for 10 years.
So
when they are not punishing those crimes that were done against you, it looks like that it will discourage future crimes, no?
Yeah.
Against you also, no?
Because whatever they do to Bobby, these people go scot-free, but in the case of Bobby, still has this warrant of arrest against him.
Right, so it will encourage crimes.
Yes.
Bobby, these crimes done to him. Yeah, you're anybody now to steal from me. And if I get caught with myself, that stuff I got at an auction, that was auctioned off of my fishing up from Beacon's, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody can steal from me, you can say, that stuff I didn't see that from Pusher. That was up in Fryer and Fire. That way I got the pigeons auction or whatever.
So they interrupt, they don't get prosecuted.
Right, yeah. Anybody can steal anything they want from me because they're claiming just by virtue of being in a room that belongs to them. Gold coins, silver coins, cash, all my documents, all my contracts, everything belongs to them.
All my letters,
mementos. Well, you're talking minimum hundreds of thousands of items. Actually, it's probably in the millions. Hundreds of thousands. Just the time ink file is in the many tens of thousands of pages. Just the time ink file, where I sue time ink.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a tremendous mass of stuff. Tremendous mass of stuff. I saved every damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Even when I was with you, you know, up in Vegas, we took pictures. I saved them. Everything. They just stole everything. Without a trace. Even the safe. And the file cabinets they've stolen. And they won't reply. Why should they reply? It's their property, right?
Well, Bobby, it seems that you're a bitter with the U.S. government, and even things that happened to you in America, you're quite bitter. How about, your fans in the U.S., or fan mails? Have you received fan mails, let's say, also in the U.S.? When you talk about it, lately or even before? I mean, during your chess career, you know?
For example, let me give you an idea of what a shitty country the U.S. is. Up in Iceland in 72, after my match, I got a lot of congratulatory letters and telegrams and so on. All this has been stolen, of course, by the Jews, the Beacons. But it's very interesting. The American ones and the ones from Europe, especially, and the rest of the world, especially from Europe. The American ones were, they were like gorillas. They were just, we want. Really, like animals, and it wasn't one. They were all the same. We want. We beat them Russians. The letters from Europe will say, congratulations, you've had a long, lonely, difficult struggle. We're very proud of you, and you've done so much for chess and for the world and this stuff. Even then, at that time, I was so pro-American, but I couldn't help but have disgust for the letters that were coming from the U.S., because it wasn't one letter. Almost all the letters had this tone. I mean, these are people who didn't give a shit about me all my life, and they don't give a shit about me today.
Well, what were you expecting out of these letters, or from these letters?
Well, more of what the Europeans said, as I said. They were congratulating me on what I had achieved in all the years of sacrifice and studying chess and overcoming the gigantic odds of beating the Russians in chess and so on.
It seems that they're very quick in joining with you in victory. But in your suffering, it seems that they're absent.
Fair weather friends, in and outers.
Fair weather friends, yeah. I know that. You become impressed if you're winning or you have achieved something.
Yeah, I just want to be on the side that's winning, like the Jim Bob Dylan said in one of his songs, Positively Fortunate. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. When I was down, you just stood there grinning. You got a lot of nerve to say you got a helping hand to lend. You just want to be on the side that's winning.
That's a description of who they are there back in the years.
Yeah. I don't say they're inherently worse than other people, but this is the corruption of the Jews, the poison of the Jews that they spread through the society, you know?
I remember, Bobby, when you arrived here, you were the ambassador of goodwill. That was in 1967, huh? You were the ambassador of goodwill of the United States of America. What happened now?
Yeah, this is true, Eugene. When I came, Campo Manis gave me a very nice photo and newspaper album. Very beautiful, very well put together. And I remember one of the columns, if anybody wants to go back and check this, around April 67, the guy said, you know, how nice I am or what, you know, how good I am to the image of America, that he said something like I'm an ambassador of goodwill to the U.S., you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I should be, I'm like a diplomat to the U.S. or whatever. But the Jews have stolen all that. Now the U.S. wants to put me in prison for 10 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now, that's the way they want it. That's the way they're going to get it. Now I'm traveling around the suit that I'm going to be an ambassador of goodwill for the U.S. Yeah.
Which reminds me, Bobby, I just read from the papers, I think it was yesterday, our papers in the Philippines, that Manila is the base of operations of the CIA.
Yes, I just read that today.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact.
You know that.
Mm, you just showed it to me at lunch.
Yes.
And I cut it out, yeah.
So they're here, and you're here. And does that tell you something, Bobby?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but you have, anyway, seen
is that the paper?
Inquirer, no?
Yeah, in the Inquirer. Is that the paper today?
Yeah, the one in front.
Oh, yes, yes. I have here a copy. Yes.
With all these papers, Bobby, it seems that you are really doing your homework, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, Manila is CIA's main station in Southeast Asia. I read the whole article, and it practically says everything that I've been saying and everything I deduced.
That's right.
I mean, not about the Philippines per se, but about the CIA.
Yes.
You know, they're just enormous. I've been reading a lot of books about the CIA. I was reading about Miss Aldrich Ames, and I read another book called Journey into Madness by Gordon Thomas. I've read a lot of books about CIA and spying.
Yeah.
The CIA is just gigantic. But remember, it's only 1/7 of the entire U.S. spy apparatus. And huge as the CIA is, it's only a tiny part.
Why is it?
Because they have the National Security Agency, they have the spy satellites, military intelligence, they have FBI, they have the Narcotics Agency. There's a whole bunch of agencies supposedly gathering intelligence and doing dirty tricks and military operations or whatever.
Do you see the CIA the most potent spy agency in the U.S.?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe they're not. Maybe they want to get the most publicity, you know.
Really?
Maybe there's some other ones that were much bigger we just don't hear about. But of course, the CIA is gigantic. No, there's no doubt about that. They're vicious. They're killers.
All right, but going back to my earlier question about the CIA.
Yeah.
It seems like they're still here in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Here in the Philippines. Aren't you apprehensive that they might, be able to pinpoint where you are after our interview and just pick you up?
Well, Pablo, they knew I was coming before I came. They know everything, they're following, they listen to every phone call I make.
Mm-hmm.
It even says that so much in this article.
Yeah.
They're listening to all the phone calls, if you will read it. It says every phone call, not some, every phone call.
Uh-huh.
It's quite incredible. The most sophisticated, most technologically advanced eavesdropping system that has ever been devised. According to Sirdulan, the system can intercept all telephone, fax, email, internet, and cell phone transmissions worldwide through a relay system of satellites and spoof stations in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Its nerve center is located at Fort Meade in Maryland, where the NSA maintains its headquarters, he said. This has grave implications for both our public and private security.
So, you're not afraid then?
I'm concerned, but, what is the alternative? Just to shut up and let them rob everything I've worked for all of my life?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been successful so far in robbing you.
Well, I mean, they've been successful, but I guarantee you they don't like this exposure, this light that I'm throwing on the Jews in the USA. I can tell you that.
What? You did?
Okay, Bobby, so, of course, it's a little bit concern, no? These things that they've done to you, and also, it's worrying, no? Because they're so powerful. And it's regarding what I'm saying is about my concern. I remember reading in a book called, by former Congressman Finley, Well, they dared to speak out. And there was a very interesting story in there about an Arab fellow who had a restaurant in the Chicago area. And he was doing very good business, and the Arabs were coming there. And I guess the Jews didn't like it. This was a meeting place for Arabs. And they said, well, Arabs are meeting there. Who knows what they're going to be talking about? And they didn't like that whole idea. So the Jews opened up their own Arab restaurant. Actually, the Arabic food, because the Jews know quite a bit about Arabic food, because a lot of Jews lived in the Middle East before they went to the Band of Israel. So, and they were competing with them. They still failed to put them out of business. Then they had the food, and people come around saying they have violations of the health code, shut them down temporarily. And they got rid of them again. That didn't work. They were still fine. Finally, they just burned the place down. And then he reopened it again. It was smaller than before. And meantime, the restaurant with Arabic food was doing much better. And they started calling up the owner, you know, they say. And giving them hate calls, threatening calls, they say, you know. They would call, say a few words and hang up. So finally, the Arab owner, he got very nervous. What do you plan to do? Are you going to kill me? And then the Jew on the other end of the line says, no, we're not going to kill you. We want you to be dead while you're still alive.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's very possible, Bobby, that they can make your life very, very, very difficult, you know? At the least, they can make your life very, very difficult.
You remember those things I read from the Talmud? They're vicious. The things they teach their people about the best of the Christians must be strangulated. The best of them. Not the worst of them, the best of them.
So,
I mean, this is true. This Talmud thing, there was one king in France hundreds of years ago who confiscated all copies of the Talmud from the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give them all up. Of course, they kept some secrets, so it survived. But when he read it, he was horrified. And he called some Jews, and they said, yes, it was true. You know, of course, they put pressure on him. They knew it was true. And then he finally got all the copies from the rabbis. They burned all the copies and burned them. It is just poison, filth. One of the things they teach, as I remember I said, is work is harmful and brings but little. That's a key statement. So they're telling their people the way to riches is by stealing and dirty fraud and so on.
But he did not write it so. I mean,
no, this is in the Talmud. Work is harmful and brings but little.
He does it. Just steal. He did not say go on and steal.
Well, the other ones do say it. Yes, I would read it a lot, but I mean, just that one alone tells you pretty much what to do.
Yeah.
You remember, Pablo, I read a lot of stuff from the Talmud. Yeah, a few programs back.
I think you did give me a copy of portions of that.
Oh, that's true.
I'm quite surprised.
And it's all true. Believe me, it's true. Because you can see it in action today. The hatred the Jews have is, they believe in hatred. They really believe that they hate us much more than we hate or dislike them, and that's why they'll win.
Yeah. You believe that?
No, I don't believe that. I believe the Jews are going to lose at the end of the day.
Okay. So, Bobby, you know, you have exposed that the Holocaust is fake, you know, that happens, and that you have exposed other crimes of the U.S., and you also exposed the Rothschilds and the Jews. So, I'm sure that they have they're so powerful that they can make your life so, you know, very difficult.
They have already.
Here's an Iran paper proves Holocaust is a fraud. This is from the Japan Times, Monday, May 15th, 2000. Just this May, huh?
Yeah.
Iran paper proves Holocaust is a fraud, but they have the word proves in quotation marks, of course.
Oh,
naturally, this newspaper is promoting the Holocaust.
Okay. But nonetheless, I'm not the only one who's saying the Holocaust never happened.
There's that item now from Japan.
Huh?
There's that item now from Japan. Let me see.